Okay, thank you very much, Greg. And so let's go ahead and get started. And I believe first on our list is the Palestine Newtown Commercial Historic District.
Tim, I think we have to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Oh, you're correct, Hannah. Thank you so much.
So I will move that we approve the minutes from the January meeting.
This is Eric Schrader seconding.
Thank you very much. All in favor?
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now, thank you. Sorry. Yeah, and hopefully this will run with a bit less of a choppy quality than it has so far today. All right. So, that being said, thank you so much, guys. Up first, I believe we have the Palestine Newtown Commercial Historic District.
Okay, hopefully everybody can see the screen that I'm sharing. Palestine Newtown Commercial Historic District in Anderson County. This nomination was prepared by Diane Elizabeth Williams, architectural historian for Historic Palestine Incorporated. Palestine is located near the center of Anderson County and is about 120 miles southeast of Dallas. The Newtown Commercial Historic District occupies more than 10 blocks in the heart of the Central Business District. The district encompasses late 19th to mid-20th century commercial and institutional development within portions of three plats adjacent to the railroad. US Highway 34, locally known as Spring Street, is the district's southern boundary. I'm not sure if you can see my cursor, but there's the railroad in the lower portion of this aerial photograph. In both the 1872 original addition and the 1872 to 1873 railroad addition, streets and parcels conform to a basic grid pattern oriented on a north-south, east-west axis. The district's uncommon platting arrangement features long east-west blocks with no alleys, so buildings stretch north and south with entrances and storefronts on both elevations. And I just want to highlight this example. This is the same building. We are looking at two ends of the same building. And this is the case throughout the district. So this was especially challenging to document. We worked with our reviewer at the Park Service on just how to best handle this within the nomination, because it is somewhat unusual. In the northern portion of the original addition, land divisions are varied in size and shape. So those are the larger lots that you see and the irregular block configurations on the top of the slide. The most intensive development in Newtown occurred between 1890 and 1940. Within Old Town, and Old Town here is in that red square, and it's centered on the historic Anderson County Courthouse. The pre-railroad commercial area was located around the courthouse square, and development was and still is a mix of one and two-story commercial buildings and residences on large lots. So here's the 1875 map of Palestine, where you can see this clear distinction between the Old Town and the New Town. And then in this aerial photograph from 1960, you can also see the courthouse square up at the top of the slide, and then the more linear layout oriented towards the railroad of the Newtown Central Business District. Within the Newtown District, one-story and two-story commercials dominate. These feature a mix of architectural styles and plan types. Largely, they're constructed of brick. The building stock represents a variety of architectural styles. I'll show you some of the landmark buildings. These are visual focal points. They're scattered throughout the entire district, including the 1882 Italianate Dilley Building, Sacred Heart Church, 1890-1893, and the Sacred Heart Rectory from the 1920s. The high style Romanesque Revival commercial style 1903 Greg Link building, which is currently undergoing rehabilitation. And so this is one of the many buildings that will benefit from having the entire district listed in the National Register. The 1914 Classical Revival Redlands Hotel, the High Style Renaissance Revival Prairie Style Hybrid Carnegie Library, the Renaissance Revival Beaux-Arts Old Palestine Post Office and Federal Building, and even into the 1960s, a new formalism of the Vera Bank. The vast majority of district buildings are long, narrow, two-part commercial buildings dating from circa 1890 to circa 1940, built by local craftsmen for local businessmen and investors, but some were designed by local or regional architects. Alterations to the district are a mix of compatible changes and incompatible non-historic modifications. I'll just show you some examples of typical alterations. We see this throughout the state, most often at the street level. Storefronts are most commonly portions of buildings that are altered. But also there are some examples of windows being covered over. Here it looks like these are just covered over with plywood. We have a mix of changes to some of the buildings because some buildings were subdivided and are owned by separate owners. And so each owner would have his or her own way of making modifications to the storefront, often in an effort to modernize. And then there are several examples of buildings that have been slip covered. These are buildings which are considered non-contributing at this time, but very often these slip covers are very easy to remove and often reveal a wonderful facade that's hidden underneath. Most properties are in good to fair condition and the district retains a high degree of integrity with 43 of 59 resources classified as contributing. So I want to show you some more of the representative examples. The 1901 building at 105 107 Spring Street. And you'll see from this slide, these buildings have two addresses. And so this has a Spring Street address and a West Main Street address. And regardless of how they're divided up from front to back, according to the National Register, they're still counted as one building because they were originally built as a single building with two separate facades. Here's another landmark building, the Romanesque former bank on Main Street and Oak Street. This is the one with the Art Deco facade at the other end. This is a good example of a two-part commercial block with really intact ground floor with exposed transom windows, inset doorways, large display windows, cast iron still visible. And even some post-war examples with high integrity, late 1940s to the early 1950s. This is that era's version of the one-part commercial block. And more new formalism on the main road. The Newtown Commercial Historic District is the largest and best preserved concentration of late 19th to late 20th century vernacular and high style commercial and institutional buildings in the city. The district is associated with Palestine's growth between 1872 and 1971. Construction in the area began in conjunction with the arrival of the International Railroad in July 1872. Rail service and related jobs, as well as agriculture and manufacturing, were joined in the early 20th century by oil and gas extraction and expanding industrial development. The Newtown Commercial Historic District derives its primary significance from its architectural form and its association with Palestine's railroad-related economy, expanding early to mid 20th century development. It is an urban-like concentration of late 19th to mid 20th century commercial and institutional buildings in a small city and is a surviving portion of the once larger Newtown commercial area, some of which was demolished between the late 1950s and early 1980s as part of the nationwide enthusiasm for urban renewal. For these reasons, the Newtown Commercial Historic District is nominated at the local level under criteria A and C in the areas of community planning and development and architecture with a period of significance circa 1872 to 1971. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Greg. And is there anyone present today who would like to speak on behalf of this property? And I'll just remind you to please use the hand raise function so I can see your names. Okay, can I get a motion from the board, please?
Yes, this is Steve Klein, and I'd like to move that we recommend this property for listing under A, Community Planning and Development Commerce, and C, Architecture at the local level of significance which the documentation justifies.
Okay, would anybody like to second the motion?
Says Sayla, and I second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, I guess we don't have any discussion of this property. So the motion is to include the Palestine Newtown Commercial Historic District under criteria A and criteria C at the local level of significance. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. Up next, we have the De La Garza House, and this is a proposal to move the property.
Tim, could I ask a quick question or make a request as the secretary? So for the voting, I'm assuming on that last one, it was all in favor, nobody against, but without the microphones or cameras on, I'm not able to get like a, I don't want to miss anything. So I guess when we go to vote, if board members could either maybe turn their camera on and raise their hand or turn mics on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it might be good if everyone could have their cameras on when we're voting and raise hands. So that way there's, you know, less sort of jumbling going on with mics and whatnot. But thank you, Hannah. Yeah.
Perfect. Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So up next is the De La Garza House.
Okay, this is Greg, and I will be presenting this proposal to move the De La Garza House. So this is unusual in that we don't review many requests to move listed houses, which is why in the posting that we shared online, we included the section of the regs that relate to this, because we don't see these come in very often. And there's no national register form. So it's really up to the applicant to put together the package, which is what we did. And so everything that the applicants sent to us that they wanted the board to see, that's in the documentation that's online. So the proposal to move the De La Garza House in San Antonio in Bexar County. This documentation was submitted by Post Oak Preservation for property owner 601 Painful LP, represented by Reeves Craig, to fulfill the requirements of the National Historic Preservation Act regarding the relocation of properties listed in the National Register. And I just want to add that lots of properties get moved around and get demolished even when they're listed, and we don't see them come before the board because the owners don't have any intention to keep them listed in the National Register. And so any proposal that we see to move a property is at the request of the owner. That's why we don't see them very often. So it's the owner that took the initiative on this one. According to federal regulations, listed properties are removed from the National Register if they are relocated without approval of the keeper prior to the move. These regulations also require the review by the State Board of Review. And so these are just some points from the federal regulations regarding what the process is and what is recommended to be included in the proposal. The De La Garza House is listed as a contributing building in the Main and Military Plazas Historic District, which was listed in the National Register in 1979, and then it was amended in 2018. To add a couple more blocks of historic buildings and also to reevaluate all the properties that were in the district and to take into account those that had been altered or demolished and so forth. So the current nomination is going to be a true reflection of what the district is. The owner of the property containing the De La Garza House, the O. Henry House, and the Arana building is currently negotiating with the City of San Antonio and Bexar County to acquire the Continental Hotel, the vacant block south of the hotel, both of which are the same block as the other three buildings. And so here's an aerial photograph showing the Continental Hotel, which is proposed for rehab, the Arana building, which is proposed for rehab, this large area between the two, which has seen demolition over the years, essentially only leaving today the De La Garza House and the O. Henry House, which was moved onto this site in the 1990s. The development agreement includes construction of a building on the block, which may require relocating the De La Garza House directly south, approximately 40 feet from its current location. Through this submission, the property owner is seeking the opinion of the State Board of Review if the De La Garza House would retain sufficient integrity to remain listed as a contributing property if located, and if a new building constructed on the block is built according to the current development proposal. And so in this slide, again, all the documentation was provided by the applicant. It shows the footprint of the De La Garza House at the top of the slide, and then its proposed new location, about 40 feet to the south. I'll show you some slides, giving you an idea of what the house looks like, its construction. The construction date is unknown. The 1978 nomination states circa 1850, although there is research which indicates it's much older than that, perhaps early 19th century. And here's the floor plan. It's a simple three-room building with two rooms in the front, both accessed by its own door. This shows you, a typical space within the building. The building is stuccoed inside and out. It's relatively plain. Here are some of the interior features with the cedar that's visible around the windows and the door jambs and at the underside of the roof. Sanborn fire insurance maps show the neighborhood transition from residential to commercial. By 1896, the block included a hotel, a theater, and a multifamily dwelling. You can see in this Sanborn map from 1892, there's a lot of small residential buildings of wood frame construction and some of stone. The ones that are blue are the stone buildings. The house was a rental property at various times. In 1948, Marcelino Moreno lived in the house and his business, Sanitary Tortilla Manufacturing, was in a building at the front of the house. And here's a comparison of the 1912 Sanborn map with the 1951 Sanborn map. Urban renewal removed numerous buildings on the block, leaving only surface parking areas around the house. The O. Henry House was moved onto the block in the 1990s. The owner of the property containing the house, the O. Henry House, and the Arana building, as I mentioned, is in negotiations with the city to acquire the Continental Hotel and the vacant lot south of the hotel. Both the Arana building and Continental Hotel, as I mentioned, are proposed for rehabilitation utilizing state and federal tax credits. The development agreement includes the construction of a building on the vacant central portion of the block. The current proposal is to move the house approximately 40 feet with a small change in setback. The new location would be northeast of the O. Henry House, which is non-contributing to the district because it had been moved in from another block, with landscaping and plaza designed to create a residential context for both buildings. The proposal states that the house may still contribute to the district if moved as proposed, because the current setting has been compromised by demolition over time, and that the new setting will be more conducive to interpreting the history of the building as a residence. We've received some letters, and these are included in the packet, which were posted on the THC website from the City of San Antonio Office of Historic Preservation, that indicated that the local landmark commission concurred that it's eligible to retain its contributing status, providing certain conditions are met. We have a letter of support for this proposal from the mayor of San Antonio. We have received a lot of email correspondence, and so in the past few days. And so currently we have 19 letters objecting to the move, one letter for the move, a couple letters that are encouraging preservation of the house, but they're referencing a pipeline and other utility projects and not necessarily the move of this building explicitly. And we have shared all the correspondence that we received as of last night. We've shared all this material with the state board members. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I comment briefly?
Yes, please, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you. I've read the correspondence, and I just wanted to mention that some of the letters seem to indicate that the question before the board and the question before the historical commission is whether or not the house should be moved. And that's not the issue for us. As you know, as Greg has pointed out, the question is really whether or not, if moved, the house would retain enough integrity that it could continue to be listed on the National Register. So I just wanted to make that clarification for anyone who might be listening in. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mark. Okay, is there anyone here who would like to speak about the move of the De La Garza House? And again, I'll ask that you please use the hand raise function so I can see you. Okay, it doesn't look like it. Now I will entertain a motion from the board, please. And again, I'll just remind everyone that what's under consideration is whether or not the property will retain its integrity if it is moved.
Tim, this is Nesta, and I'm not sure if I'm ready to make a motion, but I do have some discussion for the board. Is it appropriate to do that now, or do we need a motion first?
I think we need a motion first, Nesta.
Okay.
The motion can always be amended, Nesta. So okay. Amended, Nesta. So if you want to make a motion to approve or to recommend or not recommend, then we can have our discussion. And then we can have a motion, the final motion afterwards. But we do have to have a motion from a board member before we can have the discussion.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm there yet on a motion, so I'll defer to the other members.
This is Steve Klein. I'll just throw in a motion. This is a very complicated one that I think we all need to discuss. There's pros and cons to either decision. So not that this is necessarily how I'll vote, but I'm going to make a motion. And I don't know if we can exactly do this, that we disapprove due to lack of information, lack of total information, adequate information. Is that an acceptable motion?
I think that's acceptable, Steve, sure, yeah. Okay. Would anybody like to second Steve's motion?
This second. Is Eric.
Oh, yep. Sorry.
That's good. You go ahead.
Okay, this is Andrea Roberts, and I'll second.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay, discussion from the board.
Hey, this is Steve. I'll start out with, you know, sort of just my general feelings. With this, and I know our focus is, you know, whether it will still have be eligible for the National Register if it's moved. And I think the information that's provided, we've been provided rather a narrow framework of, you know, moving it 40 feet and, you know, putting it there in that, you know, type of setting. However, I think the thing that that has great concerns for me, and I think it is within our consideration or with anyone considering its eligibility, is the total setting. And what my concerns are is with the new development, the new construction, which really isn't addressed in that. You know, we just have a very small schematic of that. And the size, scale, and massing is very large. You know, and it still is going to be very, very close to that historic structure. So in my opinion, we're actually decreasing the historic setting with that large construction, which hasn't gotten in. And the other thing I'll throw out, which may or may not be relevant, is which would, you know, and again, appreciate the owner bringing this forward, you know, trying to do these things, certainly. But they mentioned it being a federal tax project. And I guess if it was going to be a federal tax project, the size, scale, and massing of that new structure would be considered and it would be reviewed by the National Park Service. However, just in my opinion, again, having been intimately involved with the federal tax credits and my career in history, that size, scale, and massing, like with the Continental Hotel. And again, this is sort of getting out of our realm, but I still believe it's relevant. I don't see how that's something the National Park Service would approve for federal tax credits on that schematic that they have there with the visuals of that new apartment, housing, and hotel. So I guess I made my motion to disapprove is one of the things I think you need to consider the whole block. I don't think you can just consider that little setting, although I know they're having discussions with the eligibility portion of the National Park Service. I don't know if this has been discussed with the federal tax credits, because, and again, it's, you know, I'm expanding it, but the other thing is, you know, we'd like to see, you know, the Continental Hotel and, you know, the historic and the Arana building get federal tax credits. And I think it could make for a whole project. I think that's possible. But with the proposed new construction, to me, that's going to potentially negatively impact the district, but we don't have that information yet. So if we could have that information and show what they're going to be doing and the, you know, that aspect of it, then I think we might be able to approve that moving it could, is possible. I mean, it's, you know, I don't mean to say that it's not, you know, still eligible for the National Register, but we need to consider the whole context. And I've said enough, so I'm going to throw it up to hear everyone else's opinion.
Thanks, Steve. Other discussion from the board?
This is Nesta. One of my concerns was along the line of Steve's, but below ground. I know it's not a big move that they're proposing, but there is a potential for archaeological deposits specifically associated with that house to be in place. And once you move it, you're losing a little association. And I felt the same thing as Steve, where there was a brief just mention that archaeologists would monitor, they would preserve in place or mitigate, which is kind of a big range of options. Just knowing what would why would you mitigate? Is there a way to preserve in place? There doesn't seem to be a plan. And it would just be nice to have a little more information. Same thing, because if you do move that house, that association of maybe there's a midden that's outside the front door. Well, that midden's no longer associated with the front door, which is a pattern in historical archaeology, which provides information about groups, specifically refuse disposal and what was going on in the household. And with this being a Tejano household, I think that's even more significant to know just what the plans are for the archaeology and how that might affect it. And Eric may have some additional insight as well.
Yeah, I concur with what all you said there, Nesta. I think that the character of the archaeology needs to be addressed in some manner. I know the city basically said in their packet that that the area's been disturbed and redeveloped over the years, and so therefore they feel that the archaeology has been disturbed or destroyed. But you know, being an archaeologist, you come in with all these presuppositions, and then all of a sudden you get into it and you start digging, and it proves you wrong. So I do support the idea that more archaeology or some archaeology needs to be done, at least some exploratory efforts to figure out just what all we're dealing with there before or if they decide to move the structure. I'm not sure if there's been any archaeological investigations up to now. The packet didn't address that. So I'd be interested to know if what archaeological studies have been done.
Okay, thank you, Eric, and thank you, Nesta, also. Any other comments from the board?
This is Selah, and I agree with my colleagues here. For me, there just wasn't enough information, and as a preservationist and having worked on adobe buildings and stabilizing and rehabilitating adobe structures, I just felt like there wasn't enough information, especially I wanted to know if there had been a structural engineer actually evaluate the structure to do a structural condition evaluation to inform us more on whether there was any types of structural issues on the overall condition. Also, I would like to know what other alternatives had been explored. And these things would help us then be able to evaluate whether a move would then compromise the structure itself, and if that would then affect the overall integrity of the move.
Thanks very much, Selah. Other comments?
I just wanna say, I agree with what everyone else is saying. I think that clearly, a move, if we're being narrowly focused on our job about whether it would be eligible after the move. A move is going to affect setting. Archaeology in addition, although I'm not going to try to speak to that. But the setting, the setting already doesn't have much integrity left. But I don't know that that's an argument for, well, we can go ahead and make it worse. So, I think there are ways that a move could be perfectly fine. I don't love the idea of, grouping these historic houses together among some big buildings, but, there may not be better options out there. I want to see the hotel and the Arana building preserved. I want to see this building preserved. I'm concerned, as Selah was saying, about the just the physical moving of the building, even moving at 40 feet, you know, what kind of damage could be done to the building. So I do think that it's possible that the move, you know, it could continue to be eligible for listing even after a move of 40 feet. But I think there is a lot of questions about what other alternatives have been explored, because that is one of the things that we're supposed, you know, are there other alternatives? What other alternatives have been explored? Is it going to affect its physical integrity of materials, not just setting? So from a setting standpoint, I don't think that's my main concern, because it doesn't have, you know, the setting is already highly compromised. I would say it doesn't have much integrity of setting currently. But I think just to reiterate what everyone else is saying, it's not a no, but it's definitely not a yes with the current level of information.
Okay, thanks, Hannah. Anyone else from the board, would you like to add anything? Okay, so the current motion then is to, and this is a little complicated, so forgive me if I word this funny, is to disapprove due to lack of sufficient information that the integrity will remain if the property is removed. Now, I believe, Greg, we can amend the motion should we see fit. Is that correct?
Any board member may propose an amendment, and if it's approved by the board member who made the first motion, then yeah, that's the process for doing so.
Okay, thanks. Would anybody like to add any type of amendment to the original motion?
Could you repeat the motion again, please?
So as I have it, just as I was jotting down your motion, Steve, yes, was to disapprove due to lack of sufficient evidence that structural integrity will remain if the move takes place.
Yeah, well, I think that we brought up structural integrity. We also brought up archaeology. And then we also brought up the setting again. I think, you know, all three of those, you know, to different degrees. You know, some of us felt archaeology, some felt the physical structure, which I think is an issue, how it's moved, who's going to do it, the care to the building given the age, and then also still the setting. That was what, you know, one of my concerns was with the new construction. We don't have information on that. And then alternatives, I guess, was the other one. Because, you know, there, you know, one thing is that I think was, you know, to leave the house and build the new building in a way that it doesn't have to be moved. You know, we didn't hear why that couldn't be done, you know, because that's done many times, you know, another thing, because they didn't do size and massing scales, you know, for that whole area. So that could be sort of another issue. And that was something that, you know, some comments outside of the board, as well as that was something I believe the San Antonio Conservation Society brought up, as well as, you know, the archaeology concerns was also brought up by some of the letters we received by archaeologists that are familiar with the structure. So
I have a question for Greg, like a procedural question. So in terms of motions that we can make, we can approve or we can recommend, we cannot recommend, we can defer or table. What I'm thinking is that if we say not recommend, is that a no, meaning if it is moved, it will not be eligible for listing and that's a final determination? Or if what we want is more information, then is it more appropriate to table it? Can you clarify that, Greg?
And usually when we're dealing with nominations themselves, we want to have either approval or not approval, and with the understanding that it can come back before the board again. And so it's best to have a motion, you know, with that reflects your opinion on this particular proposal. And just because if you were to not approve this proposal, there's nothing to say that the applicant couldn't come back with a different proposal. And so by you could word your motion such that you're not saying at this point, no, never can this building be moved, but, you know, state your reasons why you would not be inclined to approve this particular proposal as presented with the information provided by the applicant. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's very helpful. So as in, part of our motions on nominations is which the documentation fully supports. So our issue here is documentation.
If that is your opinion, then you can certainly add that to your motion.
This is Steve. I would like to, because I made the original motion, to amend it for that, because, you know, this is so complicated. You don't know how it's going to eventually play out. And so, you know, one of the issues would be that there, you know, I wouldn't want to foreclose the opportunity for it to be moved and listed, you know, versus losing it. So I don't know how we want to get that, Tim, into the motion. I know you were taking notes on my original one. Maybe read back what we have, and then I can see if the other two members agree.
Sure, Steve, thanks. And Hannah, please feel free to correct me if I have this wrong, just in my notes that I've been jotting down. But the original motion was to disapprove due to lack of sufficient evidence. And Steve, I believe what then this would require would be an amendment to ask for increased evidence or better documentation to show how the move would affect integrity, archaeology setting, and what possible alternatives to the move could be considered. I think that's what I have here. Does that sound right?
I think you're the possible alternatives. And then if that's clear that, you know, we're leaving the door open for it to come back, I want to make sure we leave the door open for it to come back and for us to, you know, hopefully with the additional information, you know, would be able to approve something, you know, because we certainly all want to save the building. So.
Sure, would I be able to comment on this at all and answer some of these questions? This is Anne McGlone from Post Oak.
I think that's okay, Anne, if you'd like to go ahead and speak.
Hi, everyone. I know this is really complicated, and I sort of apologize for that, but this is an ongoing project that our client, and they are on this call, I mean, on this Zoom, to answer any other questions you might have, but this is a large project that's owned by a lot of different entities, and so our client, as Greg said, owns the Arana, the O'Henry, and the Della Garza House. They would acquire from the city of San Antonio, who was desperately wanting to do something with the Continental Hotel and this empty vacant lot that's behind it. The structure of that is, the ownership structure of that will be very complicated. The middle section, which is now a vacant lot, would actually be owned by somebody else. So to answer Steve's first question about and we've already been through this with MPS and the reviewers, if this house is moved and retains integrity, they wouldn't
the MPS and THC would not have review authority over the middle building. Because it's owned by a different entity, when we go to ask for tax credits, we would ask for the Continental and the Arana and the De La Garza, but we wouldn't ask for anything on that middle structure because it's a completely different ownership structure in the center, and that would not be part of any sort of historic review. So that whole issue, and I know it was very complicated at HDRC, it was very complicated to try to explain it to the Conservation Society when we met with them, is that this little building is really in front of you, as Mark said, just to say, if it moves, does it retain integrity? It's not about the building that would be built in the center section. If you noticed in the, and so I'm gonna move on to just try to hit your points really quickly here, but under archaeology, if you looked at Greg's opening slide, you would see a huge pit in front of it. I will tell you, I was the person out there that saw that pit and went, what in the heck are they doing? I called Kay Hines at the archaeology, they stopped work to go out. The archaeologist looked at that, and you know how Kay Hines is just diligent about this. There was no report done because they didn't find anything. Because in that whole huge pit that was, but it was completely disturbed ground. So I just want to sort of say that for archaeology in the first place. In the second place, our client has done a number of buildings in historic sites in downtown San Antonio, understands completely that we will hire an archaeologist, that we would not do anything at all to disturb the archaeology. The sort of relationship to a pit, once we dug that pit that might be found and pulled everything out, the pit is gone. So the sort of relationship to what was there wouldn't be that relevant. But we've done archaeology, we know archaeology, we would do every proper archaeology thing there was supposed to do on that house. Structurally, I'm moving on to the structural question. This house was renovated so far beyond renovation that I questioned whether it had integrity, and actually previously to this had submitted a part one to both the state and the national to determine if this building still retained integrity. We did a lot of exploratory demolition, I mean, just little pieces. But when this building was renovated, they actually put around the base is a concrete beam. Around every door frame and every opening, it's concrete block or poured concrete. And there's a concrete beam around the top of the plate line. All of the things you see in the photos, like the rafters, the cedar posts, cedar lintels, those are all from the 1980s or early 90s renovation that the Carters did. So structurally, when we ask about moving it, it's actually got a whole concrete frame in it around it that we could actually will not make that move so difficult. Other alternates that have been explored is really just, in my opinion, to have a large building that sits behind that is actually worse leaving it in sight than moving it over and trying to make it into something at the setting just a little more conducive to what it might have been like. And finally, what I want to say was that a lot of people probably, and I have not read them, but I've been dealing with this for a while, have said that this building has great historic significance. I mean, it is very old, so we're not arguing that, but people have tried to tie it to the Battle of Bear, to the all sorts of things. And I just want to say that we have done extensive research, and there are actually 4 De La Garza houses in historic San Antonio back in the Spanish colonial times. And people have gotten claiming this building is like the Texas Revolution was organized here. That is all really false. And we've confirmed that with the folks out at UTSA, that this is a completely different De La Garza than those De La Garzas in a different house. So I think that covers all of our points, but I just wanted to tell you that we've been working on this for a really long time. And what we really need to ask from you all is not what our project looks like. Is the question before you is if we move the house 40 feet, has it lost its integrity? And I think that's all I have to say. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you very much. Okay, so to return to the original motion and the amendment, of course, would have to be approved by the original second. The motion is to disapprove due to lack of sufficient evidence. The amendment would be to include further evidence in the documentation for the board to consider again regarding integrity, archaeology, setting, and the question of possible alternatives. And Steve, if I spoke your original motion correctly with the amendment, is that all something that you would approve of?
Yeah, I think that was the original one. The issue is based on Anne's additional information. Do we want to discuss that? Would be something I would bring up, whether how that's affected the rest of the board's opinions before we vote on it.
I just remind everyone, and yes, that's an important question to ask, but I would just remind everyone that the that we are limited to the documentation that we have.
Right. Yeah. I guess we're to have that documentation before we vote. You know, I guess if we left our motion, not to confuse it even more, but.
Sure. And also, I apologize. I'm getting a note to call on Valerie to speak to this issue.
Good morning, everyone. This is Valerie McGolan from the Texas Historical Commission. I had just noted earlier when the tax credit process was being discussed that I wanted to offer my services for information on the preliminary consultations that had gone through regarding the tax credit projects, proposed tax credit projects. And as Anne said, they did pursue preliminary consultations with our office and with the National Park Service regarding these proposed plans. And as Anne said, the proposal to construct that new construction at the center of the block was considered to be able to be not reviewed as part of either the Arana building or the Continental building tax credit project if that new construction component is outside the bounds of those particular historic sites. So they're outside of the property boundaries and is not undertaken by the same entity that is undertaking the tax credit projects. If there are any other further questions regarding the tax credit review, I'm available to answer them.
So Valerie, if the building in the middle, the new construction, is not part of the tax credit and not going to be reviewed, what part of this complicated project is moving the building? What part of the tax credit does that fall under? Is
sure.
that reviewed?
So, mm-hmm. As part of the tax credit program, if the owner who is undertaking a tax credit project also undertakes work to a contributing building in that district that either demolishes that contributing building or renders it non-contributing, then that would threaten their ability to receive tax credits on their associated tax credit project. So that's really why they're asking this question, because they would presumably be the entity responsible for moving the De La Garza house, even if they're not the entity responsible for moving for constructing the new building in the center. Does that answer your question?
I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds like it's unclear if whoever the new building for the vacant lot,
yes,
that's not reviewed and that construction, if they have to move it because it's, is that potentially, I understand it's potentially subject to review for tax credits for the Arana and Continental, but is it potentially not?
Are you asking about the relocation or are you asking about the new
construction? Yeah, about the relocation based on the new construction.
Sure. So just to clarify, the construction of the new building would be confirmed by the National Park Service to not be under review if two things are true. If it is not completed by the entity that is completing the tax credit projects, and if it is not on the historic bounds of the properties that they are requesting tax credits on. There's the second question of the relocation of the De La Garza house, which as part of a tax credit project, we are obligated to review effects on other contributing buildings in the district that they might be affecting as part of their project. So some tax credit projects have been denied because of demolition of an adjacent contributing building, for instance. And so that's why this question is on the table, solely with respect to the relocation of the De La Garza house, with the assumption that the owner and the various owners involved in this complicated development scheme will be able to develop that central parcel without triggering review of that new building as part of the tax credit program. But we're still obligated to assess the relocation of the De La Garza house.
So this is Steve. So the De La Garza house right now is not on the property where the new building is being constructed?
The parcels are supposed to be reconfigured, is my understanding.
So it is then on that parcel, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it's interesting. I'm just bringing it up because with my experience with the federal government, it's interesting the National Park Service's interpretation. If it was a federal project, it would be considered part of purview. I understand how they're doing it.
Sure.
Certainly the National Park Service's prerogative to make that determination, and that's what we have to follow. But if it was a federal project, they would not look at it that narrowly.
Well, so this is, this was the consultation with the National Park Service as part of preliminary consultations for the federal tax credit. And I do want to clarify that at that time, the applicants were not asking about viability for tax credits on the De La Garza house. They're only asking for viability of tax credits on the Arana building and the Continental, which means that at that time, the relocation of the De La Garza house, the only question on the table was whether that relocation would affect its contributing status in the district and therefore threaten potential tax credits on the Arana and on the Continental. At that time, we were not being asked to consider whether the relocation of the De La Garza house was approvable under the standards for potential tax credits on the De La Garza house. That was not something that was considered in the preliminary consultations.
Okay. Now, it's a very, very complicated project.
Yes, it is.
What entity is undertaking the move? Is that related to this? There's, the photos or the renderings of the landscaping and its new location. What entity is undertaking the move if it happens? Is that part of the Arana tax credit project, the Continental tax credit project, or this new construction on the vacant lot?
That's a fair question. That's a fair question. I think two things that I can comment on are that the De La Garza house is currently on the same lot as the Arana building. And afterwards, even though the lot will be shrunken down, so it will be shrunken down from the north towards the south, and then the Della Garza house will be moved with that lot boundary, so it will continue to be on the same lot as the Arana building. So presumably that is a consideration, that it's on the same lot and it will have the same owner. However, my understanding is that the whole development concept for this block is very complex. There is an RFP involved, I believe, and the development of the central parcel is, I believe, a public-private partnership that involves low-income housing. And part of their tax credit responsibility will also need to be to confirm to us and to the National Park Service what entities are responsible for all of these components of the development, and therefore what components are under our purview for the tax credit.
Okay, well, this is, thank you, Valerie. This is really complicated.
Thank you.
And I have also received a note, I do apologize, to ask if Stella De La Garza is present and would like to speak. And I would just ask you please to keep your comments at 3 minutes if you don't mind, because we do have a full meeting that we have to move on to completing. Mrs. De La Garza, are you present?
I'm asking her to unmute.
Yes, okay, got it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, yes, I will limit my comments. Yes, I understand, we all understand the progress that needs to be made in the downtown area. We are not opposed to that. However, our concern, and speaking to several family members, I am speaking on their behalf, that there doesn't seem to be enough evidence to support that the move will not negatively affect the home itself. We have discussed this, and certainly, do not want to impede progress in that area. We know how vital San Antonio is, but that was part of Military Plaza. That whole downtown area was part of Military Plaza, and it was a house that was constructed back in the early 1800s, perhaps 1700s. And Mr. De La Garza was a descendant of one of the original Canary families. And so that house has a lot of history in it, and we would hate to see that a 40-foot move would destroy the house almost completely, because as you know, it is built of caliche stone, and we all know how sensitive that is. So those are my remarks, those are my comments. Again, I would certainly urge you to seek additional information about this move and have some reassurance that the move will not structurally damage the house further. Those are my comments. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Mrs. De La Garza. And just for the record, what is your relationship to the property, if I may ask?
My husband's family is, he's a De La Garza, so that's my husband's family.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so our original motion from Steve then was to disapprove due to lack of sufficient evidence, but that we would like to see as a board the proposal to include elements related to integrity, archaeology, setting, and various alternatives that may or may not have been considered moving forward. I don't know if, Steve, we've gotten any information that would sway you to changing the amendment or not.
I would change evidence to documentation. And I don't know if at this point, you know, the board just wants to, you know, either vote thumbs up or thumbs down on that. I mean, I can amend it if, does anyone have any suggestions for amending or what the board's feelings are? Or we just vote on it?
Well, I think we have the amendment on the table. We would need the original second to also approve of the amendment if we're moving forward. And I have lost sight of who the original second was.
Hannah, Andrea. That was Andrea.
That was Andrea. Okay. So if we were to move forward with the motion to disapprove due to lack of sufficient evidence, but request documentation be included related to integrity, archaeology, setting, and possible alternatives, Andrea, is that something that you would also approve of including?
Yes, just to make sure it includes what Sahila said earlier about structural integrity.
Okay, yes, excellent. I believe, Hannah, do you have that in your notes?
I wrote integrity, but I will specify structural integrity.
Please. Okay, thanks very much. So the motion then that I believe we can vote on, and Hannah, please correct me if I get any of this wrong, is to disapprove due to lack of sufficient evidence, but to request documentation related to structural integrity, archaeology, setting, and possible alternatives. Hannah, is that correct?
Yes, I have documentation. Disapproved due to lack of sufficient documentation. Board would like to see more documentation on archaeology, structural integrity, setting, and alternatives.
Okay, thanks very much. And just before we vote, I'd just like to remind the board of Hannah's request to please have your cameras on as we vote. So all in favor of the motion with the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries. All right, now.
Sorry, quickly. Ben is having, he's not able to be on video. So Ben, that was in favor? Okay. I'll just confirm with him.
Okay, yeah.
Later. Okay.
He's been having some
yeah, he's having audio as well as video problems.